Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now.
By reminding everyone that our passion is karma, in case you hadn't guessed. Everyone has a karmic path, whether they're aware of it or not. We don't live in a bubble. Every person's actions and reactions go out, and they often collide. Our passion is to offer you a new looking at life so that you can perhaps improve your karmic path. So we're going to start today with our origin story of how we connected science, spirituality, and psychology. So Laura, take it away.
Well, everything good happens on a dog walk.
Well, maybe for you. You're a dog.
So we've been doing the show for a while, and you know, my husband and I take our dog. We have this little white fluffy dog. I don't know if you can pop him up there, Cat. This is Murphy, and we walk this dog all the time. And my husband was talking one time, and he says, you know, what you and Tina do is you really help people to unite science, spirituality, and psychology, because to create a whole person. And we kind of ran with that. And I started talking to Tina about it. It's like, you know, what do you think about this, Tina? Because our logo is also Better Karma for Better Living, by the way, which my husband also came up with on one of those infamous dog walks. Our dog is, he used to be 3 feet tall. Now he's about 12 inches tall. walk his little legs off all the time. Anyways, he talked about, you know, uniting these three elements. And then Tina and I start talking about it. And we brought it up to Dr. Pat Basile also, and we started having this conversation because, you know, Einstein talked about, you know, understanding God, and what he was doing was really God's handiwork through physics, astronomy, and higher mathematics. And Plato, he studied psyche and the soul, and, you know, all of these greats have tried to unite them. But these three things, if we have them in balance, really helps us to create a healthy, vibrant personality.
And I think we have to acknowledge that in ordinary life, you can't go through even a single day without some psychological element of what's happening in your life hitting you, or the science of just the technology of actually this particular radio show.
And, you know, let's just talk about jobs. I mean, most everybody has a job or has had a job, and you're always dealing with people. So there's an element of psychology there.
Yeah, that's a pretty, it's a heavy duty constant. And when we're talking spirituality, there's a new term called emotional intelligence, which is what we've had hopefully for a long time. It's really what you hope your parents have, emotional intelligence, and that they can impart this great wisdom to their children. But unfortunately, sometimes parents are they're children in big bodies. They're not necessarily wise. So as a child, you might learn what not to do from your parents. So you learn a lot about emotional unintelligence.
Right.
And it's all psychology.
And it's karma offering lessons, the good, the bad, the ugly, the positive, the negative.
So what it's actually doing is opening a door to allow each of us to look at the world a little differently. And I think sometimes people have maybe inadvertently separated science is over here and that spirituality stuff. There can't be any connection.
Yeah, but when you do this, you got to put both hands in the camera.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's a technology thing.
It's the past life Italian in you. I
yes,
know. It's the hands.
Life.
The hands.
Yeah. I know. I just lived 3 years in Naples and I didn't ever want to come home. Anyway, when you're on the right path, you begin to see that you can marry science and psychology. and spiritually, spirituality. Because if you don't do that, you're always a little bit out of balance. And when you're feeling out of balance, it affects you physically. So let's say that your boss says something unkind because maybe his or her spouse said something unkind to him, and effluent sometimes runs downhill.
Well, you know, we've all had that bad day where nothing can go right, and that energy just sort of permeates the office building. And all of a sudden, everybody's feeling kind of that same funk. What is that?
And so what that is it's the psychology of that emotion hitting you. And it can cause you to have physical reactions. So people say, well, you know, there's no, you know, psychology doesn't have anything to do with illness. It has everything to do with illness. So if someone humiliates you, your face turns red. You are embarrassed. You can blush. If you hear something really bad or sad, you can end up with a stomach ache. And if you have long-term depression, you can end up with terrible things happening to your body, from cancer to all, you know, from the tough end.
You're talking about it's a frequency issue. Everything vibrates at a certain frequency, at a certain rate. And the idea is to learn what to do to raise your frequency, to raise that vibration, so hit by something, you don't fall back quite so hard.
And when you're really, really understanding the elements of these three important points in your life, you find that they're not only are you in balance, but there's a synchronicity. And I think that was the point James Redfield made in the Celestine Prophecy and all the other wonderful books he wrote. And when you're looking at, you meet the right person at the right time, or this job seems to work out. I mean, I remember when I was graduated from college, nobody would hire me. And I thought, you know, I could join the Navy. Who knew? It could be an amazing opportunity. And I mean to tell you, that door opened and everything went click, 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 click. And I never looked back. But if I had stayed in that place of, I can't find a job where I'm
going to have to duct tape your hands to your body today.
I can't help it. It's just full of energy.
Sorry, guys.
If I become depressed and, you know, decided I was going to live in my mom's basement forever and not get out and really make a life for myself, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have met my husband and traveled the world and had a ton of adventures.
And when we're talking about this, let's bring it back to the karmic past. My husband brings up this point that what we're doing is uniting these three elements, science, psychology, and spirituality. And then Tina and I have a conversation and it turns into another conversation with another person. There were all of these synchronistic moments that kind of validated that we were on the right track.
And when you were searching for help for your daughter.
Right. I was always using that intuitive sense because, and we'll say this a lot, we say this all the time, psychic ability keeps you safe.
It's what reminds you of your ethics. It's what reminds you to do the right thing. It's that nagging voice. That's the spiritual part of you. But when you're in a business meeting and someone's suggesting something that violates your level of ethics, if you still have them.
It's a karmic test is what it is.
It's a karmic opportunity. And when you're able to embrace that karmic opportunity and step up to the plate, you get to display courage. And, you know, courage might be a risk to take.
Courage is hard.
Courage is hard. And it's a spiritual component of your personality. And if you're never tested, if there isn't the bully on the block and you don't have to stand up to somebody or something, then it's nothing is ever quite the same. So when you do stick to that situation, that spiritual part of you gets to be a little taller, figuratively speaking.
Says the short woman. Go ahead.
Says the very short woman. So as we're looking at this, you're seeing that you followed the voice And you showed a lot of courage not to just accept what you were told. You kept looking and looking. It's kind of like me looking for the right software to make the lighting better this week. Just kept looking and looking till we found it. And you do that, find that part of yourself that is growing and growing and growing on really amazing levels. And I think that's what Einstein was trying to talk about when he talked about connecting to God. He didn't name anyone else. He talked about connecting to the divine, because Einstein was studying God's handiwork. He wanted to see the mathematics of the universe.
He wanted to study under the first mathematician,
the first scientist, the first geologist, the first astronomer was God. And can look at spirituality from the point of view that you're standing under the greatest fill in the blank ever, mathematician, composer, the music of the spheres.
Right. It all goes back to God.
And it all goes back to God.
Think about what has happened to you in your life where you've had some synchronistic moments, and kind of reflect on them. And what did you do with it? How did you handle it? And learn to observe how those happen and when they happen.
And when we come back,
we're going to be talking about ghosts and science and a scientist that Tina met on a plane, which sounds kind of odd, but it's all related. And you're listening to the Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Facebook Live right now at the Karmic Path or Transformation Talk Radio Facebook. And we'd love to hear from you at Questions of the Karmic Path. If you have a question, we'll be right back.
How to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction, or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals, where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order the Heart's Journey Healing Hearts Oracle Cards and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. I wanted to share a synchronicity story. Last fall, I was on a plane to Virginia, and I had 5 fabulous hours to write. San Diego to Baltimore, and then Virginia Beach.
Because I don't let her get any time off.
Yeah,
it's like, you think you're going on vacation, girlfriend? You're going to be finishing up this book for us.
Yes. So I've got 5 fabulous hours to write. So I get my window seat on my favorite airline, Southwest Airlines. And I open up my laptop and I'm working on our latest book, Teaching the Living to Help the Dead. It's a really great book. You're going to love it.
Teaching the Living to Help the Dead. And that'll be out later this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great book. So I'm working on this book and I'm typing away. There's a guy in the seat next to me. And as I'm typing away, he says, "Oh my God, I have to talk to you. I'm reading over your shoulder and I'm reading what you're writing." And
that's pretty brazen, but cool.
Well, he was honest. And yeah, he said, "This is really incredible. I work with neuroscientists and we're kind of struggling with this concept of dealing with the emotional, spiritual elements of the brain, like the hidden brain that we're studying it. We're trying to understand it. We know that there is a spiritual part of the brain, or maybe it's an emotional part. And we're trying to find the pathway that connects."
I'm going to hold your hands. Sorry.
"We're trying to find the pathway that connects spirituality and science." And, he and I are going back and forth, and I introduced myself and he introduced himself. His name is Russell Ulbrich, and he has a company called Sciencia Lux, Sciencialux.com. And he said, "You don't sound airy-fairy," which was, I think that was a compliment. And he said, I would love to have you talk to our team of neuroscientists, your take on science and spirituality."
And this is shortly after Tina and I had this discussion about reuniting these three elements. Again, synchronicity.
It was really a great synchronicity because we've had quite a few conversations. And oh, by the way, I did ask Russell's permission to use his name and his company on the air, because that is a karmically correct thing to do. You don't use someone's name without their permission. And I felt like I had a scientist's undivided attention for 5 hours. And I got to tell you, I felt really special.
And the guy probably wasn't thinking, "Oh, help me either."
No, he wasn't. It was people kind of around us, I think, were listening. And I asked him what he does. And he works in biological microscopic imaging of living systems. Okay, so let me say that again. Russell works in biological microscopic imaging of living systems, which is a very large component of neuroscience. And so he started pummeling me with these questions. And of course, the first one is, since we're talking about teaching the living to help the dead, what is this deal with ghosts?
What's up with ghosts?
So I said, "Well, it's a spiritual law and it's a physics law of thermodynamics. Energy is
neither created nor destroyed, but it can shift.
Energy has to change shape.
So what happens to this body that I have?" And I refer to them, we all rent these bodies. They're not ours to keep forever.
I'm going to rent a taller one next line.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so this is just a shell that we're using to house the soul right now. So what happens when we're done with this body, we shed this body, what happens to the energy that animates the soul? And a lot of different things can happen to that energy. But that's a big question I think a lot of people have. And, Tina and I talk to the dead and we help the dead. So we have ample opportunity experiences behind us with this.
And he wanted to understand why we were uniting psychology, science, and spirituality. And I was explaining that there is no healing, there's no spiritual, emotional, or scientific growth without a connection to it, to the divine, because the divine has this huge umbrella under which all of us are learning. And if you think about it, God has laid out most astounding planet with the most,
it's a really pretty planet,
jaw-dropping biology and geology and oceanography and insects and fish and animals. And all of those things are living systems. So this is what Russell was studying. And component of a living system that is not definable. And I invited him to look back through history. Throughout time, people have talked about ghosts. It's not a modern phenomenon.
Back through time, different locations. You could have 500 BC in India. You could have the 1200s in England. Every country, every culture has a word or a concept for the word ghost and a few other things.
And they have ghosts and spirits and native cultures.
Angels and demons.
And they've seen these things.
Why is this if they don't exist?
So when you're looking at the energy system of a mortal person, and he and I also discussed the fact that when a person dies, we immediately shift from discussing, you know, that person to the soul. Oh, I hope that soul is at peace.
He's in a better place.
We don't talk about the person anymore.
Right.
And then we put the body in the ground. We never put a soul in the ground. Souls are eternal. They live forever. And the energy just changes form, like butterflies and water. Water is forever, right, unless you're taking groundwater.
Water can be frozen. It can be liquid. It can be a gas.
So
basic science.
It's basic science. And the math of a living system, like a fern or a chambered nautilus or a snail shell or...
The Fibonacci spiral is what you're going for.
Yes, that's the educator in you.
The Fibonacci spiral is a mathematic equation.
And when you look at the perfection of that, or the golden mean, and that this exists throughout the planet, but it also exists throughout the universe. And I think this is one of the things Einstein was trying to understand, was the brilliance and the repetition of the same mathematical formulas, with whether it's nebulae or galaxies or all these other amazing things in space, and including the thousands of things we don't know about. And for science to feel that there can't possibly be ghosts, or religious leaders believing that, telling a child there's no such things as ghosts when that person's clearly seeing their dead parent right in front of them or their sibling.
Experience much?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw the ghost of my dead Siamese when I was a little girl. And I knew she was right there. And no one believed me, but I could see that child, that cat ghost. And I guess where I'm going with this is that there is such a thing as ghosts. There are such a thing as ghosts because energy is neither created nor destroyed. And so as we're listening to religious leaders tell us that if you can see a ghost or you connect to them,
you're connected to the devil.
Or it's
you're
demonic.
Evil. Yes.
How can
can somebody's sweet grandma or how somebody's child who is stuck between dimensions, because a ghost is literally a soul stuck between dimensions, where there's no such thing as unfinished business, they're stuck. How can a sweet child or a grandmother be evil?
Yeah, how can the fact that you are observing a scientific, the first law of thermodynamics, which is energy is neither created nor destroyed, you're observing that. Why is that all of a sudden different physics? I got into a lot of trouble as a little kid because I said, well, if that's the law, then how come when I see a ghost, that's not? He says, you know, we don't discuss religion. So why is ghosts, discussing a ghost, religious? It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with physics.
And spirituality.
And spirituality. And maybe.
And the psyche of the soul, psychology.
And maybe compassion. Maybe it's the compassion. If you see a ghost child, like your daughter has seen ghost children.
We had a ghost child live with us for a long time. I didn't know what to do with her. I wasn't going to banish her. I wouldn't banish anyone's child.
And when you have compassion and you want to help them, then you shouldn't have to run out and find a medium, which is back to why I was writing this book, Teaching the Living to Help the Dead.
And our goal is to literally help people who have who are haunted by ghosts to help themselves. So you don't necessarily need to pay a medium and not know if it worked or not. And that's based on my experience, because I had so many people tell me that they moved on these ghosts, they banished them, they crossed them over, whatever, but nothing worked. So this is one of our missions, is to marry these three elements to explain the logic trail behind what we do and why we do what we do.
And frankly, it's very exciting for us to be able to share these concepts. And I know that there are a lot of people who are listening, hopefully, to our show, who do see ghosts. And they maybe when they were a child, no one believed them. Well, we're here to tell you, you're not crazy.
You know, and we have, if you have a ghost issue, we're kind of sidetracking here a little bit. We do have a second site. We always refer back to the karmic path, but we do have another site called ghosthelpers.com. And there are some free tools that you can use to help cross over the dead that may be with you if that's part of your experiences. And having said that, it's already time for a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. Have a question or comment, shoot us an email at questions@thekarmicpath.com. And we'll be right back.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
anyone desired, understand some of the most basic elements of what makes us human and how we relate to one another. And one of the examples I gave and in honoring this very important question that I was really glad to see scientists asking is, and I had this conversation with my neighbor because he didn't believe in any of this spiritual stuff because he was a scientist. And I said, prove to me you love your wife. You're married a long time. Prove to me you love her using science. Right? It's a simple request.
So what was the moment of silence length?
He looked at me and he walked away. He was walking around the block and he just said, you just don't understand. And it's like, no, we cannot separate them.
Right.
The science of love affects us on every level.
It's a vibration.
It's a vibration. If, for instance, my son is a mechanic. My oldest son is a mechanic. And he talks about people who love their car notice that the car works really, really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, I had a Fiat when we lived in Naples, Italy, that knew every shopping place in Naples, all the best places to go.
Your husband must have thought that's one expensive car.
It was an old kind of a beater and it was red.
It was expensive because it knew where to shop.
It knew where to shop. Yeah. And so one day I took it in to put gas in it, and I was feeling really expansive. So I told the mechanic, because I was pretty fluent in Italian at the time, you know, check the oil. And he checks the oil, and he comes back out, and he goes, this look of horror on his face. There was no smoke or steam coming out of the engine. And he says, niente olio. Like, you idiot woman, there's no oil in your car. And I said, being very generous, so put some oil in that. My son just cringes at that example. So he put oil in the car, but he didn't understand why the car still ran. And the car still ran because I loved the car. And from a mathematical frequency point of view, I just loved that car. It was a, you know, five speed,
you know,
and it just took. Here's like another crazy on
little
the Autostrada.
Side story is years ago, my husband and I managed some rental properties. And we learned really fast on who to rent to. We would take the prospective tenant to their car. And if their car looked like McDonald's barfed inside the car, we didn't want to rent to them. Because the cleanliness of their car indicated to us what kind of a tenant they would be.
And my son always says that a clean car inside the car, in the trunk and out, means your car will run better. So if your car is clean in and out and you love the car, the probability that you're going to have a lot of problems is less. And you remember to check the oil and the air in your tires. So in explaining this example, you fill the metal in the car with a frequency of positive energy. And
I always tell Grace and Lily that I love them every time I get in the car.
That's right.
Our cars all have names.
Our cars all have names, and because it becomes very, very
our
personal.
Our mechanic now knows our car's names.
Yeah. Well, my mechanic always knew my car's names because
that was your son.
That was my son. So,
all right. So one of the concerns I have though about science, and that is with artificial intelligence, because I don't want, you know, Google or Amazon or these entities to tell me what I want to buy before I know I even want to buy it. And we see this with the sticky ads and stuff like that, because it's pre-programming us to a certain level. And it's a certain, I'm wondering if it's a violation of free will in a way.
Well, we're boiling the frog.
Okay.
Literally one degree at a time, because we're becoming, this is again, one of the things that Russell was discussing. Are we becoming so wedded to technology that we're giving them more authority over our lives? And we're not allowing ourselves to be open to the larger view. What's happened is we're seeing greater and greater division in the United States and actually throughout the world, because the artificial intelligence, the analytics, is telling us what we're supposed to be liking.
The algorithms.
Telling
us. You know, and I actually have a really good story about this.
Okay, I'm ready.
Another segue. I'm really good at that today.
Okay.
my husband is more liberal in his philosophy, and his best friend back east is very, very conservative. And he was explaining to his friend, he says, well, Google decides what you want to see, and all these browsers decide what you want to see. And the friend is like, what do you mean? He's like, type in Donald Trump. And this is not a political thing at all. And they each typed in Donald Trump in their appropriate browser, whatever their browser was, and they both got completely different points of view. That is taking away our free will to see the true picture, if you really think about it. This is where science is disconnected from spirituality. The science of the algorithm is disconnecting us.
It's disconnecting us from the free will and the opportunity for discernment.
And truth.
So we have a love affair with technology, but we also need to embrace the concept that maybe we need to have the free will be returned to us to decide that maybe we want to see all points of view. And maybe if we had more points of view, we wouldn't be so endlessly separated. And is this a good thing? I think being separated is not a good thing.
I saw a lot of families via social media, because I do a lot of social media promotions. You know, in the last few elections in the U.S., families and friends were disowning each other because of these belief systems that were put in their place based on an algorithm. And we don't really necessarily always know the truth. And we just assume, we have knee-jerk reactions, and that's really not good for our soul evolution.
We have to embrace a concept of wonder and not knowing. And part of the spiritual process is the wonder of being open to a new and a different idea, not politically so much, but
right.
Let's go back in history. Two examples. A lot of times science says, if I can't see it, it can't be real. And this goes back to the 1800s, when especially...
when the microscope started.
Well, before the microscope, right before the microscope was invented, especially during the Civil War, there was one particular doctor whose name escapes me, and he believed, he noticed that the death rate, it's the Civil War, it's horrible. Over 800,000 men died in the Civil War in 4,000 battles. And he noticed that if he took a few minutes and he had everybody on his surgical team, if you could call it that, wash their hands and wash their instruments, just something simple with soap and water, his death rate dropped. And he believed that there was something he couldn't see that was causing these men to die of sepsis and a horrible infection.
Same thing with childbirth. A lot of women died in childbirth because the doctors didn't wash their hands.
But the midwives did. The midwives understood the importance, you know, all this boiling water. Well, they're also washing their hands, not in boiling water, but they were washing their hands before they attempted to work on another person's body, actually as a method of respect. But it was cleanliness. It was a higher frequency.
And science didn't see, we can't see viruses and bacteria with the naked eye. It took the invention of the microscope to really fully appreciate that. And so when we're talking about spirituality and we're looking at ghosts and we're looking at all of these other elements that we've always known these truths throughout history, we just don't always have the technology to keep up with those spiritual truths such as ghosts. But as our technology is improving, we're seeing people capturing souls, leaving their physical body upon death. And we're looking at, we can see auric fields with Carillion photography. And we talked about that last week or so.
Well, it's like the motorcycle rider who died, and this person who was nearby took a picture of the wreck and saw the energy that was his soul leaving the body. It was a YouTube sensation, but that's been around for a long time. We just have the technology now to capture that astounding moment. This guy's moving between the third dimension and the fourth.
Right. And this is science and spirituality coming together.
And I think that when you are looking at this, you need to embrace possibilities. And science loves new concepts and inventions, But it takes time. Sometimes there was something I heard on NPR in a podcast recently that science progresses one dead scientist at a time, because that means that a lot of old ways die off and make way for new concepts. But what if we didn't have to have dead scientists? What if we could say, well, maybe there's some validity to some of this. Maybe we're looking at it differently, or someone's giving us a different view. And that open approach is an element of spirituality, because it's an open mind. It's a more open mind. And when we look at how love works, and we can do that a little bit, we're going to almost about to go to a break here. But when we look at how love works, love affects us in every conceivable way.
So does hate.
Exactly. And
when you are running up against somebody, you can kind of use your psychic sense to get an intuition about what that other person is like as you're approaching them, based on body language, posture, and things like that. This is the psychology behind it.
So when we come back, we are going to be discussing a little bit more about how love works. So you're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, contact us at questions@thekarmicpath.com.
It's time to step into the power of yes. Creating the life you want is up to you. The power comes from saying yes to ourselves, yes to possibilities, and yes to change. Are you ready? Start achieving your goals and moving life in the direction you want. Tune in each month to Yes Minded Power Radio with Barbara Scheidegger to start living your future now. For more information about the show and working with Barbara, visit yesmindedpower.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you have questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side? Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We were discussing love before, and I wanted to point out that sometimes when you love a person so much, it drives you to know and understand something. And so the irony is that Laura has a master's degree in education. Yet karma put her in a position to marry this knowledge with the psychological and spiritual aspects of her life. So Laura, let's just reiterate the pure science of this.
I was a Spanish and math teacher, and I also taught elementary school for a bit. And when my life took that serious left turn, I am looking for help. I'm using the science, I'm basically using the scientific method of deduction, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And at that time, I mentioned before that I was literally fighting for my family's soul. How do you know what's right? How do you know? Well, trust your intuition, trust your gut instinct. And that is actually an art form also. Learning how to trust yourself takes time and patience.
It's a spiritual element.
It's probably one of the most private spiritual elements a person can have, is to learn how to trust their intuition. And when you marry that with the science of things, of energy not being, neither being created nor destroyed, you can start to look at spirituality as an entirely different, having an entirely different evolution. And we had all kinds of ghosts and things that we were dealing with, but I knew I had to trust my gut. I knew what was right. I knew what wasn't working. I just didn't know how to fix my problem at the time.
Okay, so in looking at the psychology of things a little bit, as an educator, you also knew that you couldn't tell anyone.
If I told someone, I was, you know, if my husband and I talked about this outside of our immediate family, we risked losing our child.
Because this couldn't be considered science.
This was not science. And, you know, science would want to put my kid on psychotropic drugs. And, you know, because what she was doing was not in those scientific normal confines. What she was doing was beyond science. It was metaphysics. It was beyond physics.
That's what metaphysics means, beyond physics. So let's also shift this to when you're in a classroom, if you have a child that it wants to learn, but this child is hearing things, whether it's bullying or there are traumas at home. This emotional, psychological element affects this child's ability to learn, to pay attention, and it can affect this child's ability to love.
When you're not safe, you're missing out on a lot of things. And when you're not safe, you're trying to survive. There's a difference between surviving and thriving. When somebody has cancer, oh, I'm a cancer survivor. Let's shift it. What if you're a thriver?
What if you survive cancer, but when do you start thriving? I mean, a survivor is sitting on the edge of a ledge holding on. I'm surviving. You know, can you like to come in off that ledge and really live?
And yes. And that's kind of what we were going through. We were literally trying to survive this nightmare that we were going through. And it was the ultimate science experiment for me. And I look at everything as an experiment. You try something at least once, sometimes twice.
So one of the other things that we did in crossing Annabelle over, which who was your child ghost, and all the other ghosts that you had, mm-hmm. was we connected you to the divine.
Right.
And that connection of a living system to the divine.
A building of brick and stone. I didn't need all of these other tools or accoutrements. It was a direct connection. And I didn't know I didn't know what to do with her. I knew that this was a big problem, but I didn't know how to cross her over. And this seems to be a big mystery throughout this entire planet through millennia. What do you do with a soul that's stuck between dimensions? It's a science problem.
It's a science problem.
And a spirituality problem and a psychological problem.
And you shouldn't have to go find a medium to fix it. And the opportunity to connect you to the divine by helping another soul, spiritual service, which is one of the biggest reasons anyone has psychic ability, no gifts here, as we've said before, is really important. And I want to go back to another psychological element, which is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, that's a good one.
Alcoholics Anonymous has used the connection to God for years. There is no healing without God. If you feel alone in the world, if you feel like you have never made that divine connection, then, and it's not a connection to spirit where you don't know where it is, say the word. You are connected to God. Let's just say it plainly. When you make that tremendous connection in your own way, whether it's through you meditate, you stand in a field and you feel the sun on your face, and you feel the divine love, then you can prove through the scientific method that God loves every one of us, because every single person on the planet gets the same sun. You don't need
the same moon,
the same air to breathe, and the same oceans, and the opportunity for life. God doesn't pick a religion and just give them sunlight.
We're born in karma, and we're born in those karmic groups. And some people are born in Southern California. Some people are born in Wisconsin. Some people are born in India. It's not right or wrong or good or bad. It's what our soul needs for our soul development. And we do, I'm going to segue again, because I'm really good at that today. We talk a lot about that in the book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. Why are we here? What's our soul purpose? Why was I born into this family? What does reincarnation have to do with my soul path?
Those are all really important issues, because depression and suicide are spiritual experiences. They're just at the dark end of the spiritual experience.
And if we look at spirituality as a harmonic scale, meaning it goes up and down, and I see a lot of times people are posting in places, oh, I'm so spiritually awakened, I can't relate to my family and blah, blah, those kinds of things. That doesn't really mean that you're spiritually awakened. Maybe the spiritual test, the karmic test, is to learn how to interact with those members of your family. Or maybe learn how to not interact with those members of your family.
Or look at them with a little more compassion and understand what happened to them, and reserve judgment. And maybe it isn't necessary to judge someone for something. Step back a little bit and maybe just observe. And use your intuition about the person, your emotional intelligence. I think it's important to understand that. And I kind of want to review as we head into our last 2 minutes here that Einstein...
And I want to do a plug before we go.
Okay. Einstein believed in using intuition to solve problems. He marveled at the mystery of God and nature. He sought to know God, and he questioned the Bible. It's all right to question the Bible. He wanted to understand the creative force that is undefinable, that exists in all of nature. And he wanted to understand this God force, or the force like we saw in Star Wars. And this is an Einstein quote, these two. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. So Einstein believed you improve the worlds with ideals, not necessarily science.
All right, that's pretty good.
So,
and we have to get going here, but I want to talk about next week. Next week, we're talking about the karma of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetness. And we're going to be talking about reincarnation and soul groups and family groups. And we're also going to be bringing in our sponsor from the Oil Lounge, Christiane, who's going to talk about some essential oils that can help us with processing forgiveness. And having said that, forgiveness is not forgetness. We want to emphasize with that, because forgiveness brings up grief. It brings up anger. It brings up all of these not so pleasant emotions that we kind of have to work through to get to the other side. And there's no timetable for it either.
That's right.
So next week, we're going to be visited by theoillounge.com, and they're going to be talking about essential oils to help us deal with forgiveness, grief, and anger, and those types of things. So you've been listening to the Karmic Path Radio Show on the Transformation Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, please email us at questions@thekarmicpath.com. We're super excited about next week and having Christiane from the Oil Lounge join us. And thank you to Russell for sitting next to Tina on the plane.
And a special thanks to Kat Gravy, our producer, who helps us put the show together.
Yes, and thank you for the wonderful picture of Murphy.
Till next time.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with the Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.